were dropped out of the draft that had been initially agreed upon after discussions and negotiations, at least between the parties to the lawsuit. And Mr. Custer and Mr. Gross and I would like to see the committee, if it would do so, return to the language that we had all agreed upon. And after the word direct, we would propose to delete the word or and insert a comma, immediate and, so that the sentence or the line would read, are experiencing or will experience the most direct, immediate, and severe impact from oil and gas development. And the reason for this is as follows. This was not an issue that was addressed in the Superior Court litigation. This is simply our agreement as to having gone through the legislative history and spent several months working through the legislative history of the federal legislation. This is what we believe the Congress meant when it said directly or severely impacted. My guess is that this would be the advice that the Department of Law would be giving to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs as to what that federal legislation means. And our view is that if they're going to be advising them that that's what it means anyway, it would make good sense for the legislature simply to put that in. As I say, we agree, and I can advise this committee that this is our best understanding of how the Congress intended the federal legislation to work, and that's it.
Lieutenant Cotton. Susan, is there still people on the line?
Steve Porter's on the line in Anchorage, but there's no one in...
My question's on page 4, lines 14 through 19. Now, it sounds like the Department of Revenue will manage the fund, but I guess I don't understand who's going to have the money. That you're suggesting that each year the legislature shall appropriate all the money to CRA and then they'll decide what gets allocated out of that money.
The way it would work is this, the way it's contemplated and the way the legislation is drafted. The legislature would appropriate the money to community and regional affairs. They will have adopted regulations specifying the manner in which communities will apply for grants, the standards for impact, and so forth and so on. If the department will then grant the money or amounts of money to those communities that they believe fulfill the requirements of the regulations and of the federal act. If there is money that has been transferred left over at the end of that process, it will lapse in accordance
right.
with...
Right. I'm just want to talk about yeah. Section E there, the business of appropriating. So this, we would need another piece of legislation to actually appropriate the money.
You have to. You can't combine an appropriation bill with this, and because of the dedicated fund statute, you have to have the appropriations.
So here's what I'm going to propose. I'm going to propose something different. I'm going to propose that we not appropriate the money to the Community Regional Affairs Department until the Community Regional Affairs Department has received the request for grants. And at that point, the legislature would make a determination as to whether to appropriate money for those grants. In other words, we don't give all the money to CRA and let them decide if the money gets dispersed. We keep the money in this fund over here, let the revenue manage it or whatever. And then after CRA has put out the opportunity and made it clear that these communities have been impacted, can apply for grant money, they can apply. CRA comes back to the legislature the next year, presents it to the legislature, and then the legislature appropriates money for those grants that they agree are deserving as far as a result of direct, immediate, or severe impact from oil and gas development in NPRA, Alaska. Do you think that that procedure would be in conflict with what the court has ordered?
I don't think it would be in conflict with what the court ordered, Representative Cotton. I think it would, I'm not sure what it gains anybody. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what it gains to me. It means that in this case, how much money are we talking about? How much would we have to appropriate this year to that fund?
I think it would be in the neighborhood of $24 million.
$24 million. So it's my opinion that there's not been $24 million of impact as a direct result of oil and gas development in NPRA. I could be wrong, but that's my feeling. But if that were the case, then those applications and those grant requests would be presented to the legislature, and then we could make the appropriation. But the gain would be that if the Community Regional Affairs Department and the legislature disagreed as to what those impacts were and what ought to be compensated, the legislature would have something to say about it. At this point, we wouldn't. We would hand them the money, they would set the procedures up, determine who should get the money, and the legislature would be out of that process. So that would be, I think, the gain as far as the legislature is concerned.
I believe Representative Pignalbury had a question, and then Representative Sun, and I have one too. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Susan, when last we had this bill before us, we talked about whether or not the language was necessary on page 4, paragraph D. And I forgot, I have that marked with a question mark, but I forgot what the answer was. And then I had proposed that we would delete the language in line 23 after the words fiscal year toward the end of the line, put a period after year, and delete the rest of the language on the page. Would you comment on how you perceive that?
I would agree that subsection D probably isn't required. I do not think that retirement of municipal debt would be one of the things that would qualify under the federal statute. With regard to the language following fiscal year on line 22, my clients don't really have a position on that one way or the other. This is something that had been proposed by the Department of Law and the permanent fund people. It didn't impact our interests one way or the other, so we had no objection to its inclusion.
Representative Sun?
Yeah, just to follow up on that last line, is there some restriction in this money that it can't be used for operations or operating costs? I just see in F, basically, they're proposing half of the remainder go back to the permanent fund, a half a percent to school fund, and a remainder of the general fund for uses for capital construction. And or other public services, I guess.
It's operation of other essential public services. So I think you could
there's
use
no
it
restriction
for
on this money. It's operations money versus capital money.
That's correct.
I guess the other question I had was a follow-up on the direction that Representative Cotton was going. We used to have a program in DEC with water and sewer projects where we kind of they did a ranking of all the priorities in a certain category, I guess in this case all municipalities, and then we'd just fund against that. You know, we'd kind of do a block grant fund type thing. It seems to me this works the same way. If people went out and the people who are have the need for this or fit into this category can come in with their requests or something, and then CNRA just presents the legislature a list, project, city, whatever, village, dollar amount, and just goes down the list till you get to the bottom. In this case, you take the available money and fund against that list. If you had enough money to fund the whole list, you'd do it, and if you didn't have enough money, you'd fund down to wherever the cutoff was. If they had $15 million of requests, you had $10 million of money, you give them $10 million, and the top priorities would get the money.
I take it, though, I don't understand how the $10 million was determined. If it was determined by weighing and balancing all the other state interests, I guess my
no,
problem...
No, it'd be weighed and balanced for all the people who are eligible to apply for this money.
Sure. I guess, you know, my comment on Representative Cotton's proposal, and I think the thing that you're talking about is this. Let me say a couple of things. This money has been coming into the state since 1982, okay? The state misappropriated it. They flat misappropriated it. They put a lot of it into the permanent fund. They spent the rest of it. The people that Congress, the communities that Congress intended should have a part of this money during those years when there was lots of oil money and and the competing interests were very, very different from what they are right now, we didn't even have a crack at it. The state just flat spent it on its own. Now we're in a position of having to, if Representative Cotton's proposal were to be accepted, of having to compete under totally different circumstances today than would have been the case back in 1982 and 1983 had the state done the right thing with the money that Congress intended in the first place. Doing it this way at least comes close to putting us back to the position we would have been in if the state had followed the federal law in the first instance.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I follow up. I don't really see it as necessary competing. You know, we'd like to get this rectified and back in the same course, but I do feel a little uncomfortable appropriating $24 million over to a department with a line saying, here's $24 million, go spend it, knowing in my mind, and I haven't had anybody tell me otherwise, that there isn't $24 million worth of needs out there.
But that's what's going to be determined in the course of the...
I think we need to set the money aside to find out what the needs are, but I don't know if we need to set it aside in the department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Susan, I'd rather have a root canal than tap the permanent fund for anything, and I think this would be the first... I said I would rather have a root canal rather than tap the permanent fund for anything, and I think this would be the first precedent, would it not, for taking money out of the permanent fund? And I just wonder if there's in some way we can indicate another source for the money. Why does it have to come out of the permanent fund?
This is not money in essence that's, quote, coming out of the permanent fund or tapping the permanent fund. When you put it that way, it makes it sound as if it should have gone in the permanent fund all along. The whole point of the litigation and the whole point of the judge's decision is that this was money wrongfully placed in the permanent fund. It's no different from if the legislature had passed an appropriation bill providing that $1 million should go into the permanent fund, and the Commissioner of Revenue said, gee, I think it'd be real nice if we put $2 million in, and wrote a check and put it in. I mean, if you took the million out, the extra million that was never authorized to go in there, I wouldn't call that tapping the permanent fund.
The same argument on the native allotments on 128.
I was just thinking that.
Probably related to something that's worked on all day here.
Pat, you had a question?
Susan, I'd like to go back to page 4 at the top of the page, and with your amendments or proposed amendments there on immediate and severe impact from oil and gas development, with that language, I would think it would make this legislation pretty narrow in terms of its scope of where it's directed. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but one of the things that the people from the Community Regional Fair said was that it was a pool of money, basically, that people could go to and get at from if they could justify that they were impacted by oil and gas development on the reserve. But I think this really does narrow the focus of the fund substantially. And I don't know if you wish to comment on that or not.
I think that as far as, you know, my reading of the legislative history in the Congress was that they primarily had in mind communities in, around, near, encompassing the actual boundaries of the NPRA. By the same token, they certainly did not preclude other communities from coming in and applying for it. This would simply set the priorities along the lines that Representative Sund was suggesting as far as which communities would get impact money first, assuming that you had more impacts than you had money to give out. And that's why we wanted that language in there and why we thought it would be more consistent with what the Congress intended.
Okay, thank you for your answer. Well, I should have done this earlier, actually, Susan, but the chair would entertain a motion to adopt this work draft so we, as a committee substitute, so we have that in front of us with the proposed changes that Susan mentioned in her testimony.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any...
Chairman, yeah, that's the changes in the numbers on page 1 and the deletion of section 2.
That's correct. I was going to do that on a separate motion, but that'd be fine, too.
And the addition of the language on the top of page 4, line 1?
That's correct. Okay. Is there any objection to adoption of that with those proposed changes? If there's no objection, then we have this in before us finally, formally, as a legislation. Representative Cotton, did you have language that you wanted to place in here that would change section E?
Yeah, I'm working on it here. I'd suggest it on page 4.
Another minute. I was going to ask a question if you need another minute.
Oh, good. You got a question?
Go ahead, Rip St. Val.
I just wanted to ask Susan to repeat the changes on line 4. I can't, my two versions are the same. Or page 4, those changes you mentioned about the direct and severe impact?
After direct, delete the word or and insert comma, immediate, and.
Thank you.
Susan, thank you for your. But I wouldn't leave yet because we may want to ask.
I may have to go for a conceptual amendment here, but I'd say that on line 21, change the word required to appropriated.
Page
4, line 21. So this new F would say amounts received by the state under 42 U.S.C. 6508 and not appropriated for grants to municipalities under C of this section shall lapse at the end of each fiscal year as follows. So that would indicate that there would be an appropriation required. I'm not sure how to do the rest of this, but we could say something like it's the intent of the legislature that each year all of the money in the NPRA Alaska Special Revenue Fund be held in reserve by the Department of Revenue for consideration. And I'm not sure what words to use there, but for the legislature to consider for appropriations.
That'd be held in the general fund, wouldn't it? Isn't that where
this section 3 sets up this National Petroleum Reserve Special Revenue Fund.
Mr. Chairman? Representative Frischel?
I can see the direction headed. I guess I had a different concept that maybe...
If I can hear it.
Heading in, let me speak conceptually. What I was thinking was some of the monies that are coming in. That, for example, in E there on lines 14 and 15, you would start out as the intent of the legislature that each year money, delete all of the money in the special fund would be appropriated. Have a second paragraph that would direct DCRA each year to report to the legislature prior to the session amounts in their view necessary to meet an annual basis needs that we've set out. Then when you get down to F, rather than the approach you suggested, that I'm not enamored with any of this stuff lapsing back into anything, as long as it's in a separate account, I have no problem leaving it in that account, so that I would limit the lapse money only to those monies appropriated to Canadian regional affairs that aren't passed out in grants that year, that those monies would lapse back and you could have any you wanted. But clearly, F1 on 23 is just a throwaway if you're looking at the whole 24 million, chances of any of that being left, if you follow the bill. So under your scenario, that you, as I understand it, you'd almost take the reverse, that and whatever the balance would be, 50% would automatically the first year go back into the permit, remainder of the formula. And I'm not sure I'm in accord with that either. I see no problem in leaving it up in an accountant general fund annual, just like, to use another example, something we talked about on the floor today, just like the power development fund, real belt energy fund, and then appropriate from that any amounts that weren't used would lapse back and then in some sort of arrangement, similar to what we'll hear.
I'm not sure I followed that either, but you're saying that, see, the way it works right now is that if you don't spend it, then the court says you at least you've made it available for a year, and if it isn't spent for those purposes, then you can do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah. May I just say one other thing with respect to this, and I will be as delicate as I can because I realize that even as I'm about to say this that it may sound sort of threatening or blackmail-y, and I do not wish to sound that way ever, ever. However, there are some realities here. The court not only decided that we were entitled to get a crack at, if you will, the $24 million that was wrongfully placed into the permanent fund. We had originally asked for a ruling that the entire $47 million be put on the table and be made available for NPRA grants. The court held, however, that as to the $18 million that had gone into the permanent fund and had just been spent during 1982 and 1983 was not available under the doctrine to us, under the doctrine of latches, because according to the court, we had waited too long to sue. We believe that we have a very good argument to make that although the court was absolutely correct in its determination as to the permanent fund, it was incorrect with regard to the latches argument and the other $18 million. The time for appeal has not yet run. The legislation that you have before you and the whole mechanism with the money going to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and so forth really has been the result of a lot of negotiations between our clients, the City of Barrow, who were independently represented in the lawsuit, the Department of Law, the Department of Revenue, the Permanent Fund, and so forth and so on. I don't know what my clients would do if the legislation were to change radically from what everyone, the parties at least, had all agreed would be an amicable way for everybody to walk away from the lawsuit.
I'm trying to try something here. There is another party involved here.
Representative Cotton, I understand that completely,
I don't think it's prudent for the legislature to toss $24 million bucks up in the air and see who grabs it.
I'm
not even suggesting
saying
that would happen, but it's possible. And then, you can appeal. You always have that right.
So. I understand. I just wanted to point that out to you, and I did not want to insult you, not recognize the fact that obviously you are the third branch of government and all of that. I just wanted to point that out to you.
Okay. I'd like to hold this over and work on the amendment until tomorrow.
Let me, I don't have any problems with that if we can work on an amendment. I know there was some discussion before we started this meeting about trying to come up with language that would take care of everybody's concerns here. But I have a perhaps a different approach than Representative Freshaw or Representative Cotton had, and that had to do with putting some language in here which would be Section 7 or whatever, which would give some pretty clear directives to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs on adopting these regulations. And I don't know if that's been discussed or
I'm not sure what you mean, the content of them or the requirement that they do so.
Well, you mentioned earlier that was what your in the discussions with various parties that, that you're understanding that they would adopt some regulations for the disbursement of the funds. So I think to me, I'd be more comfortable if that was embodied into this legislation now.
As far as the requirement that they adopt regulations, on page 3, line 25, requires them to do so.
I'm sorry, I missed that. And,
I don't know what you do to them if they don't, but they have at least agreed informally with us that they would work quickly to do that.
I don't have any objection to hold this over, but I would like to move this bill out tomorrow. I'll hold it over for one day, and we'll move it out first thing tomorrow.
Move, we adjourn.
Right on. We'll take up 309 tomorrow.
I have a question.
I don't think a motion to adjourn is debatable, but what's your question, Rick?
I just want Susan to think again about whether this has to be permanent fund. I mean, the money's going to come out of the permanent fund. If there's some other way to do it, why don't we just say general fund or rainy day account or governor's reserve or something, but it would go down easier, I know, if it just wasn't the permanent fund.
But it's not the permanent fund. It should never have gone in there. I understand what you're saying, but I think...
still there. I will entertain the motion to adjourn if I have this understanding from all you members that we are moving out 309 tomorrow.
309?
Yes, 309 is moving tomorrow.
Yeah, I get the change of the time amendments.
He is adjourned.